Heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of Locked On Kings. Thank you so much for following us here. I am Jason Ross and excited to be starting year number two of our endeavor here on the Locked On Network. And again, we encourage you to check out all of our guys doing podcasts in the NFL, Locked On Raiders, Locked On 49ers, Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd, Locked On Jazz, where it all started with David Locke. Any team you'd like to follow, it's here, it's covered. NBA, NFL, we encourage you to check it out. But we do thank you for stopping by here on Locked On Kings. Subscribe daily on iTunes. It's there for you. Leave us ratings, reviews, comments if you'd like to send them to us. You can reach me at jason.ross@cbsradio.com or at JasonRoss1140 if you'd like to follow me on Twitter. So thank you for that, but also Google Play, Stitcher, Audioboom, all the different spots to find us. Well, Monday was media day out at for the Sacramento Kings. Their first workout will begin on Tuesday, official team workout. And then the following Monday, on October 2nd, the NBA preseason will start for the Sacramento Kings when they host the San Antonio Spurs. So camp will be quick and practices will go fast, and then all of a sudden preseason and regular season is honestly almost here, so the wait is over. It was great to see the guys at Media Day. I've done Media Day for so many years, 20-plus years covering the Sacramento Kings. They all kind of blend together and end up feeling like similar events, but I will say there was a lightness, a freshness maybe to this year's Media Day, and what I mean by that is what was most noticeable, which is kind of funny, because almost every year we joke about player X, best shape of their life. This player added 10 pounds of muscle. I thought all the players looked fine. I mean, there was nobody that you noticed anything one way or the other about. It was honestly the coaching staff. They had their own personal challenge of a weight loss challenge. And for any of you that saw video or pictures or tweets or anything on Coach Yeager, he looks great. I know that does nothing for the win-loss column, but people were joking about him looking like a male model. He's dropped some weight. He looked young, refreshed, revived. The coaching staff all dropped weight collectively. So everybody for the coaching staff looked great, and they're excited for the grind that's about to begin. And it is. It is definitely that. It's a grind. A lot of work is going to be coming up for the next several months. But with that said, it was just great to be around. There was no tension in the room, and I'm not suggesting one way or the other. I think you can probably gather where that was coming from in the past, but it's about moving forward now with this organization. And the veterans were talking glowingly about the young guys. The young guys were praising the veterans. All the right things to say, of course, but it did feel authentic. And it was just fun to be around the guys again and to see them and knowing that basketball is here. So we're going to continue our theme. Yesterday, Monday, we covered the point guards. And on that podcast, we hit De'Aaron Fox, George Hill, and Frank Mason. It's difficult, really, to narrow down positions for the Sacramento Kings on who's a two guard, who's a three, small forward and power, or a power forward and a center. But I'm going to do the best I can to try to also keep the shows balanced. There are 18 players on the roster for the Sacramento Kings, at least starting training camp. And so, you know, there's not an even number of guys we're going to cover each day. Today on the shooting guard list, I have put four guys in my sights. And again, guys can play different positions and multiple positions, but this is where I feel that the guys kind of land, and we'll just kind of discuss each and every one of them. So where we're going to start first is one of the newest and more intriguing players for the Sacramento Kings, and that's Bogdan Bogdanović. And he came over and has played a lot of basketball. He just got to Sacramento a couple of days ago. He and Papianis played in Eurobasket in the European Championships, and Bogdanović has played a lot of basketball. I think he was talking about at Media Day, 20 games he played over the last month. So right now he's in a different mode where he's not necessarily ramping up trying to get in shape. He's almost trying to preserve his body for what he knows will be a long NBA grind. Hearing him talk, being in the scrums and hearing him, he's ahead of the curve, I think, from a lot of people that have come from overseas. He has a good grasp of the language, which again, this may seem trivial, but it's really not. And I know it's helped to be around Vlade and Peja and be able to communicate with them, but his English is very strong, and he understands and he wants to learn phrasing, American, I don't know if slang is the right word, but he wants to know what all the terms mean, what stuff he's going to be saying and being able to share with his teammates. So I don't think the language barrier, it's not even going to be a barrier. I think it's just comprehension for him, and he's very well-spoken, and I think that's not going to be a major issue. Coaches will be able to communicate to him. He'll be able to communicate back. It still will be an adjustment, though. I mean, he had been to Sacramento one other time. He's coming back. This will be his home for the summer or for the season, and just learning the American way, right? I mean, the different things that he was talking about, how he's got to figure out the banking system, taxes. I mean, there's just stuff that no other player right now has to worry about, but he does. And so those little things, besides learning your teammates, learning where players want the ball, learning where he's comfortable, learning opposing players and NBA talent. So there's an adjustment period that's going to be happening for Bogdanović, but I am excited about him. I really have been, and I know in some of the past podcasts I've talked about, he's kind of the X factor to me. I don't know what he's going to be. I know a lot of people think very highly of him. I like his professional experience that he's already had. He's considered a young NBA player, but he's got professional experience. So I like what he has the ability to offer this team. And the other part of where I think Bogdanović comes in as an asset to Coach Jaeger and the coaching staff, feel like he is a gifted two guard. He can shoot it. That's one of his strengths. But he's also a playmaker, a little bit of a creator. His assist total has always been, you know, above what the, I would say, standard two guard provides in a league. Maybe two assists per game. He's up in the 4 and 5 range. So he's a creator. He can get guys off their spot defensively and create and draw double teams and move people in on him. And then he's a willing and very capable passer. So I think the Kings have to figure out a way to utilize that. Also hit right in his strength, which is shooting the ball. And by all accounts, it sounds like he's a pretty intense competitor and defender. So those are all positive things. I think he's going to be able to cover the board in a lot of things statistically: rebounding, assists, points, three-point shooting, free throw percentage, maybe hopefully a plus defender. There's a lot of things of Bogdan Bogdanović's game that I think people will like. Now, from Bogdanović, we move on to our next name, which is Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield for a left-wing three. He's got it, and he's got a new career scoring high. 24 points for Buddy Hield. His second three-pointer of the night in 5 attempts. Makes it 119-100. Papayannis digs back on Blake Griffin. Gonna shake. The ball knocked out of his hands. Grabs it back. Feeds it out to Galloway. Swings it to Buddy. Got a good look at a three. He scores the triple. Jaeger applauding vigorously across the way. It's a two-possession game. Backcourt steal. Buddy Hield goes to the corner. Launches for three. He's got the triple. It's a three-point ball game at 96-93. 2:10 to go. Timeout taken by Doc Rivers. How about Buddy Buckets? He was 1 for 7 a while ago, and suddenly he's 5 for 11 with 15 points. And a backcourt steal, step to the corner, drilled the three, and we have got a ball game. Oh, my goodness. Hield going to go for another three. Buddy Hield has got a 30-point ball game. The Kings' largest lead in the season at the Golden 1 Center is now 26 points at 128-102.
Buddy can score it. There is no doubt about that. He was one of the prize possessions, I'll say, that came over in the trade last February for DeMarcus Cousins. Obviously, other pieces were involved in Galloway and Tyreke Evans and future picks, but Buddy Hield was a lottery pick a year ago, a number 6 pick, and hadn't found his way quite yet in New Orleans, but came to Sacramento and really blossomed. The numbers suggest it. 8.6 points in his first stint with New Orleans. The final 25 games with the Kings nearly doubled that, 15 points per game. He shot it at 36-9 from three in New Orleans, shot at 42-8 with the Sacramento Kings. Shot the overall two ball, his field goal percentage, 39% in New Orleans, 48% in Sacramento. You heard some of the highlights there too. Had some great moments as a King, was able to get in the 20s and 30 points sometimes, and had that great late game situation there with the Clippers and helped steal the game for the Kings against Los Angeles last year. I like Buddy Hield's game a lot. He's really more of a, not one-dimensional is not fair to say, but he is a scorer. He is a scorer. He's got that gift. He's got the knack to find that moment. He's not afraid to put up volume shots, but doesn't have to be a volume shooter. And ideally, and I'm going to keep saying this about Buddy Hield, I think the Sacramento Kings would be at their best, their prime, if Buddy Hield was their sixth man and a great scorer, fitting that role of a Bobby Jackson, of a Jason Terry, Manu Ginobili, other great sixth men that have played in the NBA. I don't know if they're at that spot yet, and whether or not Buddy Hield starts over Bogdanovich or comes off the bench, or if Coach Yeager elects to do something even different. There's another two-guard we'll have on our list here in a moment that could get some of those minutes. So there's a lot of different areas that Coach Yeager can go, but there's no doubt Buddy Hield is going to play. He's going to play a lot. He's durable. He works super hard. He's a good trash talker. He's a good spirit. He's fun. Buddy Hield is, again, a professional NBA scorer, and I don't think we should ever take that for granted. There was a time where, you know, I always wondered, like, what else does Kevin Martin do when he was a Sacramento King? Well, you know what? He scored. He was a scorer. You need somebody that gets you points. You don't always get 20 points a game from guys, but you need someone that's going to be a threat offensively that other teams have to scheme for and scout for. And Buddy Hield may come in as the team's leading scorer. Maybe it'll be George Hill this year. I think there's a lot of different people as candidates. Buddy would be near the top of my list, and I could see him getting at that 15 to 17 point range for the season. That would be really good, whether he's starting or coming off the bench or playing a lot of minutes. Buddy Hield has that gift, and I think that's a guy that Kings fans will enjoy, and especially when he gets hot and he gets in a rhythm and he gets in his comfort zone shooting, he certainly is one of the best shooters on this team.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
All right, next we go to kind of an unknown and a curious signing for me for the Sacramento Kings. I say signing, but he was invited to camp, and that is Matt Jones. We're trying to include everybody here on our preseason evaluation. Looks like his best position at Duke was shooting guard. He is a guard. I don't know where he will fit, if he will fit, but he comes from obviously a great program and Coach K, but the Kings brought him in. They already have the 15 guys under contract. They've got their two-way guys as well in Cooley and Sampson. So I don't know. I mean, everybody has an opportunity to try to impress the coaching staff. I think Jones is in a difficult spot, but this is what he will try to do, is impress the coaching staff and see if he can get some run in practice. Certainly get his notice there, or some preseason run. And if he doesn't make it as a King, maybe there's another opportunity, or there still is Reno and the Bighorns and an opportunity to stash him there and think if that's a guy that can still be a part of the future down the line. So you're always looking, even if you feel comfortable about your roster. I think the reality for Matt Jones' best chance to get through this organization is probably to impress at Reno and see if he can develop and continue to get better and better and better, and then see if he can dent the NBA lineup with the Kings or potentially with another team. All right, the last guy I put here, this was a tough one. Did I want to put Malachi Richardson in the two-guard position or someone else? And I elected to go with Garrett Temple.
Temple turns and cruises into the front court on the right wing, now moves toward the center of the floor, goes to the left wing and takes it out toward three-point range, steps back, launches for three, scores the three. The three ball is a huge friend of the Sacramento Kings in this second half. 13th one they've made in 23 attempts. They now lead by double digits for the first time, on top by 10 at 98-88. Murray with a little give and go, driving, uncontested, blocked at the rim. Who was that? Was that Garrett Temple that got up there? It was. And the ball ended up being wedged between the backboard and the rim. And this crowd just came to its feet, many of them. What a spectacular recovery by Garrett Temple on the block. And all Murray could do was just look up and smile, because he had gone to the full windmill mode and he was denied. Garrett Temple, I had no idea he had that kind of leaping ability. Perfect timing.
Now, I don't know if Garrett Temple is going to land here and stay here, but I could see him playing some three. I could see him playing some one, certainly at some moments. This guy just needs to be on the floor. The Kings, to me, last year were better with Garrett Temple. And It's hard to quantify because if you look at stats, they'll never jump out at you for Garrett Temple. He does a little bit of everything. He could score some. He could shoot the three some, as you heard. That block he had was as good as it gets. He usually defends one or two of the better defenders on the opposing team, gets that assignment nightly, and it's been from Westbrook to Harden to Durant. I mean, he has had to cover all different shapes, sizes, speed of player, and he has that ability. I love his leadership. I love his intangibles, his just in-game intensity and desire, his teammate, his professionalism, him personally. I mean, there is a lot to like, and he was one of the guys that we were able to catch up with at Media Day. So I wanted you guys to hear this conversation that Damian Barling and I, that we had on the lowdown with Garrett Temple. And it started out with us asking Garrett about, you know, a new training camp, another start of a season, and this being the youngest team that he's ever been on.
Yeah, I've never been on a team with, I think Willie is our sixth oldest in terms of years player, and that's, wow, you know, he's going into his third year. And so to have 10 guys that, you know, nine guys that haven't played 82 games is very interesting. And but like y'all said, we have some other guys to be able to help. Obviously, Coast is back, and then brought in three great veterans in Vince, George, and Zebo, guys that have been through the ringer and been to the playoffs and know what it takes to win, but also are good guys and understand how to lead. So but there is no middle ground. You either have been in the league at least 8-9 years, or you're a puppy. So it's going to be interesting, and we're gonna teach as we go. But we're gonna try winning some games. We have a lot of talented young guys, no matter their age.
Is the vibe around this team? Obviously, you guys haven't been together very long. This is media day. Is there a different feel around here, having such a young group and so many new players in?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here since right after Labor Day, and the vibe has been good. It's a lot of energy. You know, we're playing a lot of pickup. We got guys that want to learn. The rookies, all of the rookies are great listeners, and they're guys that definitely want to learn and want to be professional, be great pros. And so the vibe, it's a little different type of vibe. I'm really anxious to get into training camp tomorrow and get practicing and see what coach has in store for us.
Last year you had to transition from a team that was pushing, trying to make the playoffs, make a huge trade to you at the time and Tolliver at the time and some of the other veterans to kind of be mentors to a lot of the younger players. Are you in that same spot now where you're still going to play, you're still going to be an important piece, but you also kind of have to teach the way of the NBA to some of these guys? You all right with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, I've always said, and I've said even more lately to other people, that no matter what, how great a talent you are, what type of school you went to, because we got some great guys that are great programs in college, you still have to learn how to be a professional basketball player, no matter what. No matter if you're the number one pick or an undrafted free agent, no matter if you have a great record or you know, you're a felon, you have to learn how to be a pro in the NBA. It's a different type of game, a different type of, you know, system. And, you know, as well as playing on the court producing, we're going to do as well as we can to teach these guys the ropes.
Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings with us here on the Lowdown. What's the thing that you find you have to teach every young player, or what is the one thing that every young player needs to know their first year?
Accountability, man. You know, and I can't stress it enough. I learned it early on when I was with Houston, and then even more so when I was in San Antonio. Accountability, and that's a very broad term, and it's broad for a reason, you know. That comes to being on time. That comes to being a pro, getting your work in. That comes to accountable, producing what you're supposed to produce on the court, being the type of role player you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be. And I think if you hold players accountable and players hold each other accountable and don't, you know, look to the coaching staff or the general manager to be the only ones that have authority, I think that's when you start building the culture that you want and a winning culture.
You know, everybody will make predictions. You'll see where the Kings, people, quote-unquote experts, will have the Kings somewhere. Do you have any idea today what you think your team might be like? I mean, it's hard until you really get out there, but what do you think your roster looks like today?
Yeah, I really have not much of an idea. If you were to ask me who would be the starting five right now, I would not be able to tell you. If you were to ask me, you know, how many games in a 10 game range, wins or losses, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I know one thing, that we're going to come out, we're going to play hard, we're going to have a team that works hard, and, you know, Coach Yeager is going to do a good job of getting us ready, you know, preparing us for each game every day. And I'm going to do my part and I'm going to do as much as I can to help make sure everybody else does theirs.
You are very generous with your time, man. Yeah. We know you're super busy today. We really appreciate you sitting down for a few minutes, and I think this is going to be the first of many conversations we're having this season.
No problem. Appreciate y'all, man.
All right, a few more numbers on Garrett. This team last year was better with Garrett on the floor. I think they went 6-11 without Garrett Temple was the number. And again, it still was a team below 500, but they were chasing it for a while, and they went 6-11. Some of those games were late in the year when they were resting some of their guys or giving opportunities, I should say, to younger players. But there was also a stretch of games where Temple was out. Just feel like he's a glue guy, an important piece to every roster, and a guy that you just like on your team in the leadership role, the professionalism role, his actual role on the floor as a defender and an offensive player, a smart player. Just there, Garrett Temple is the Swiss Army knife of this team, right? I mean, can be asked to do just about anything, start, come off the bench, play 5 minutes, play 35 minutes, defend the best offensive player, hit a big shot. He is so valuable, so coachable, so likable, and just an impressive guy. So hopefully you enjoyed that brief conversation that Damian and I had from our radio show with Garrett Temple on Media Day. So I put those guys in the two-guard spot of Bogdanovich, Buddy Hield, Matt Jones, and Garrett Temple. Tomorrow, we will get to the small forwards, still to come, obviously, the rest of the week, power forwards and centers. But like I said, it was great to see the guys Monday at Media Day, and it's basically here. We are getting very, very close to the start of the NBA season. Again, send me comments and feedback, jason.ross@cbsradio.com, on Twitter at jasonross1140. And we do appreciate you listening, all of you, and those of you that take your time to download us on iTunes. Thank you for that. Leave us rating and reviews if you would. Audioboom, Google Play, and Stitcher, all the different outlets to find us. And keep listening. Tell others about us as well, as now we're ramping up each and every day. So again, thank you so much for listening. Back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.